Welcome to City Church's podcast, and thanks for joining us. Open up a Bible and listen in. And now, here's today's message.
Well, good morning, City Church. How are you guys doing? Hey, we're going to do something fun this morning. We're going to start off the service with a game. Now, we played this game before. The game is Guess the Theme Song. The way it works is I'm going to play a song of a show, and you have to tell me what it is. Last time we did this, we did the Friends theme song, and just about everybody got it. But this one's going to be a little more challenging because it's an older show. So this is what I want you guys to do. When we play the song, if you know what it is, shoot your hand up and let me know if you know what the song is, because first person who recognizes it wins a little prize. You guys ready? All right. So you guys know what song it is? The A-Team, yes, that is right. We got the winner right back here. Awesome. You got dark chocolate cherry strudels. Now you can share with everybody around you. How about that? Hey, if you're new to City Church, welcome, where church is kind of like a game show. Just kidding. It's not always like this. But hey, so that is the theme song to the show, The A-Team, one of my favorite shows growing up. It was about a team of four ex-Green Beret soldiers that were incriminated for a crime they didn't do. And so they were on the run, but they worked as soldiers of fortune. And it consisted of Hannibal, the main team leader, the man with the plan. They all had nicknames, right? Second in command is Face, the mad pilot, Murdoch, and the character that we all know, the iconic Mr. T, B.A. Baracus. I pity the fool. So this is one of my favorite shows growing up when I was a kid. Now, this show is about these good guys always trying to overcome these bad guys, and they always were faced with obstacles and situations that were really hard to get through. But the man with the plan, their team leader, Hannibal, he always saw past the obstacles, and he saw a vision towards victory. And he would make a plan, usually in an unorthodox way, where they can complete their mission. And out of the close to 100 episodes that were aired from 1983 to 1987, Hannibal, his plans had a 100% success rate. Pretty good, right? And he had a famous tagline at the end of the show, if you guys remember what it was. Every time that they finished a mission, they would always say this tagline. And he would say, I love it when a plan comes together. 10 points for you guys over there. You guys know. What does the A-Team have to do with the message today? Well, let me link them together. All right. It's still the beginning of the year. We're only the third week into 2020, right? This is the time of the year where everybody has already set New Year's resolutions, new goals, visions for what they want to accomplish this year. Right? And it's a good thing. You need to have an idea of where you want to progress towards in life to have these goals and dreams. But the hard reality and the hard truth is that very few people actually accomplish their goals. There's a study done by the University of Scranton that said that 92% of people fail to complete their New Year's resolutions, their goals. That means only 8% will actually complete their goal that they set for this year. So 1 out of 10 people will complete their goal. Excuse me, I have a little cough, so excuse me if I cough during my message. So only 1 out of 10 people will complete their goal. So what separates the 92% that don't complete their goal and the 8% that do? The answer is a plan, a successful plan. That's the difference that the one from the nine have, that they don't have a plan that is successful. And many people, they have goals, but they have a faulty plan. And unlike the A-Team, their plans don't come together. They fall apart before they even get off the ground. And so today, the goal is to teach you a methodology of making a successful plan. Now, it's not about casting a vision or making a goal. That's already been done. We already talked about that. Last week, Pastor Kyle was talking about finding the why. But now, it is how do you get to your goal? And so, I want to teach you guys a methodology that's biblical. It's found in scriptures of how to reach your goal so that you can be like the 8% of people that actually do accomplish their goals this year. So the title of my message today is The Secrets to a Successful Plan. And we're going to today is going to be a different kind of message. It's going to be more of a life hack lesson in productivity. And we're going to dig into the scriptures and see a biblical model of successful planning that will help you accomplish your goal and your vision that God has for your life this year. And it's not just for New Year's resolutions. This works for any goal that you have, anything that you want to accomplish. You plug it into this model and you can accomplish those goals that you have. So my plan and my prayer is that you would learn this methodology, that you would apply it immediately, and that by December 31st, 2020, you, 100% of you, every single person in this room can, just like Hannibal from the A-Team, after a successful mission was completed where they reached their goals, can say, I love it when a plan comes together. So let's get started. Just a quick background. We have been in a new series that is called 2020 Vision, Wise Words for a New Year. And we've been going through the book of Proverbs to glean wisdom for life. And just a quick background about the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is considered one of the wisdom literature books in the Bible. And it's very unique in its structure, as it is a collection of wise sayings. It's a collection of single point, short, very practical teachings that will help us glean wisdom to make us think and ponder of how to live a more wise life. And so it's commonly thought that the great King Solomon was the one who wrote the entire book of Proverbs because of the first verse in the first chapter. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. But there were actually a few other authors that wrote and contributed to the book of Proverbs, and they were actually mentioned. Solomon was one of them. There was another guy named Agor, and there's another guy named Lemuel, and another one also. So the opening verse that Solomon wrote the entire book, he wrote a lot of it, but there's also others. Solomon was the one that probably compiled the book of wise sayings together and gave us the book of Proverbs that we have in our Bible. Now, it's very easy to find the book of Proverbs in our Bible. If you have a paper Bible, all you got to do is crack your Bible open dead center, and you're going to land in the book of Psalms. You go one book over, and that is the book of Proverbs. And if you have the Bible app, it's very easy. You just swipe it open and click Proverbs. So we are going to be in the book of Proverbs chapter 21. And we're going to glean wisdom from this book of how to be a good planner, because God wants you to be a good planner and create successful plans so you could accomplish the goals and the vision that he has for your life this year and beyond. So crack open your Bibles, swipe your Bibles on the YouVersion app or whatever Bible app you have to Proverbs 21. We're going to read one verse. We're going to read one proverb, and we're going to dissect it. It's full of wisdom. But before we do, let's bow our heads and our hearts to pray. Lord God, we thank you for this book of wisdom that you have given us. Lord, would you speak to us? Would you talk to us? Would you show us your word, what you want us to hear? Would you open up our hearts? We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to read this one very short verse, and it is packed with practical wisdoms of successful planning, and it is Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5. That's it, one verse, and it's this. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. I'm going to read that again. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. This small verse is packed with wisdom. Now, let's unpack it. Let's unpack all this wisdom that's in here. From the verse, I'm going to focus on three words, because these three words, in their true definition, in the Hebrew meaning, hold so much depth. And the words that we're going to unpack from this verse are the word plans, diligent, and lead. The plans of the diligent lead. Now, before we dive deeper into the meaning of these verses, I want to talk about planning. All right, so planning sometimes has gotten a bad rap in some Christian circles. You may have read a verse that it's still in Proverbs as well, chapter 16, verse 9. It says, the heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. And some people have ticked in this verse and thought, you know what? You don't need to make a plan because God's going to direct your steps anyway. So just trust him. Or they might say, well, if you're so trusted in your plan, you're not trusting in God's plan for your life. So you shouldn't even have a plan. No, that's not what it means. Nowhere does it mean that you should just wander through life aimlessly. See, if you do not plot a course in your life, you will drift wherever the tide takes you. And the tide of culture will take you into some bad places. On the contrary, all throughout Scripture, especially in Proverbs, planning is held in high regard. And it says over and over again, it is wise to have a plan. So make a plan. But hold it loosely. If God wants to direct your steps in other ways, trust that his leading is the best. This happened in my life. I gotta be honest. I never planned to be a pastor. It wasn't in my plans. My plan was to be a professional musician. And I did that for a number of years. But God started to shift my direction. And I discovered that I had a gift of teaching, and he led me to become a missionary, and then he led me again to here to become a pastor, one of the pastors here at City Church, and he brought me exactly where he wants me to be. And so he can do that with your life, that you can have your plan, but hold it loosely and trust wherever his leading takes you, because it is the best place to be. So have a plan. Proverbs 21, verse 5 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance. So let's unpack this first word, plans. The number one reason why people don't reach their goals is because of poor planning, right? So what does it mean to plan in the biblical sense of the word? What does the word plan mean? Well, in Hebrew, the word for plan is this word, makshuvat. Now, I probably mispronounced that, sorry. But it's important that we understand the root word, the root meaning, because of makshuvat, of this word that was used to write in the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and oftentimes there's not a one-to-one translation from Hebrew to English. There's so much more behind it. And so the root meaning of this word, makshuvat, for plan, it means the deeper translation behind it is this, that it means to plan with design, plan with purpose, plan with intention, plan with thought. Plan with design, purpose, intention, and thought. That means that our plans should be designed in detail, very specific. Our plans should be prepared with purpose. Our plans should be executed with intentionality of the end goal in mind. And our plans should be well thought out. Did you know that God is a planner? And this is exactly the same way that he plans. This is the way he plans. And there's a biblical reference that shows this. In Psalms 139, from verse 13 to 18, it says this. It shows how God has planned you. See, God planned the universe, and he had it with a plan in mind, and he planned you. And he had a plan for your life as well. Check this out. Psalms 139, verse 13. He created you and designed you with great attention to detail. It says, for you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depth of the earth. The Bible says that you were created and you were planned with very fine attention to detail. It also says that you were created and planned and prepared with a purpose and intention of your life as a finished product. Before you even formed, before he even got started, he already pre-planned who you were and knew you and the finished product of who you are. In verse 16, it says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet they were none of them. See, God saw the finished product in you. He saw you before he even began the process of making you. And we're also told that when he planned you, he put so much thought about who you were. You were well thought out. You were thoughtfully made. Verse 17 says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sands of the seashore. How amazing is that? That God has put so much thought about you and that he hasn't stopped thinking about you. You are still in his thoughts today. And so if God is so intricate in planning, then so should we be with our plans. And so I'm going to give you three tips to make a successful plan, so that you can accomplish your goals. And I call this the three D's of a successful plan. Now, I want you all to have a 3D plan by the end of this message. And the most successful plans do this. And this is the first point in your note sheet. When you came in here, you got a note sheet, and it helps you follow along with the message. And this is your first fill-in. It is this. The first D of a 3D plan is, one, define an accurate starting line, clear finish line, and a hard deadline. Define an accurate starting line, a clear finish line, and a hard deadline. This three-step process of defining an accurate starting line, clear finish line, and a hard deadline, it's what all the very successful plans do. And it answers three fundamental questions, which are where you are now, where do you want to go, and when are you going to arrive there? A goal is a destination that you want to get to that you're not already there yet. And in order to create a plan to reach that goal successfully, first, you need to have an accurate starting line. You have to understand where you are currently. Now, if any of you guys used the app Google Maps to navigate anywhere, you understand this. You type in your destination that you want to go to, right? In and out. Just kidding. 24-hour fitness, that's way more healthier than in and out. And then you hit the start navigation button. But Google Maps, it can't create a plot, a turn-by-turn course to that destination until you do one thing first. Turn on your GPS so that it can recognize exactly where you are first. And then it can plot the course. Now, good luck if you're using Apple Maps, because it just doesn't work. So you need to have an accurate start. Thank you, I get an applause for that. You need to have an accurate starting line to begin. So, for example, since the number one New Year's resolution goal is normally something that has to do with physical fitness, say that you want to reach a certain percentage of body fat, or you want to lose some weight. First, you need to have an accurate assessment of where you currently are. So, measure how much body fat you have, or weigh yourself and understand where you're at, because you need to have that clear starting line where you're starting from, because if your scale's off, then it's going to be harder for you to plot a good course to reach your goal. Or maybe you want to have a better relationship with your spouse. Well, you have to have an accurate understanding of how your relationship really is. You see, if you ask a guy, hey, how's things with the wife? He might say, oh, they're fine. And in his mind, things are really fine. That's the way they are. You ask a girl, hey, how are things in the relationship? And she might say, they're fine. And you go, really, how is it? And then she'll say, it's not fine. He's on his phone too much. He doesn't hang out with me. And he works too much. Yada, yada, yada. So you have two people in the same relationship seeing two different realities, right? So you have to have an accurate assessment of where you're at, really. See, you got to take the rose-colored glasses off. You can't be living in a fantasy land. You have to understand how things are really doing so that you can start plotting a course. This leads to the second thing you need to define. It's to define a clear finish line. You have to know where you're going first. What is mission success? Where are you going? What is the end goal? And then you have to clearly define it. Define the finish line and be specific, because the more specific you are, the more clear it is, the more clear it is, the more achievable it is. So you want to lose weight? Well, how much exactly do you want to lose? You want to have a better relationship with your spouse? How exactly? Define it with specifics. Okay, well, I want to have happier conversations, or I want to be able to resolve conflicts without a massive fight with my spouse, or I want to have fun again and enjoy hanging out with them, laughing like we used to. Be specific. We should all have the goal. Every single one of us here should have the goal to improve our relationship with God. We should all try to improve our relationship with God. And so, how do you do that? Be specific. How do you want to improve your relationship with God? Well, you can say, I want to have a better prayer life. What does that mean? By the end of the year, I want to have the habit of starting my day with 30 minutes of prayer and devotion, connecting with God. Or you might say, I want to improve my relationship with God by reading the entire Bible in 1 year. So what's the specifics of that? What does that mean? That means that you will read 66 books, which are in the Bible, consisting of 1,189 chapters within it. Define it clearly. And you have to understand the finish line clearly. See, the better you understand the goal with specifics, the better it is that you can plot a course to get there. And this is an important thing to do. This is a very important thing to do. Once you define your goal, then with the specifics and everything, then write it down. Write it down. Physically write it down with pen and paper. See, something happens when we write our thoughts down. It is the first step of taking something that's immaterial and turning it into the physical. It's the first step of taking a dream that is in your mind and bringing it to reality. So write your goal down on pen and paper. Make it physical. Now, I have a practical application of this in your bulletins. On the other side of the bulletin, there's a section that says exercise. Making a successful plan And I want everyone to do this right now, because I want you guys to get this method of planning. This first section says, my goal is to. So a lot of us have our goals in mind already, right? We have our New Year's resolution. We have the vision that we want for our life for this year. Write it down right now. What is it? My goal is to, and put that on paper right in front of you. Now, if you haven't thought about what your goal is for 2020, listen, you have goals. There are things that you want to accomplish. And so just for the sake of the exercise, write down the first goal that comes to your mind. Think about it and put it down on there, because I want you to run through this exercise right now. It could be a simple task, right? Or a big task. Maybe you want to paint the house red. Or not red. Maybe you want to record an album. Well, how many songs is it going to have? Okay, 8-song album, sure. Or maybe you want to write a book. Well, how many chapters does it have? 10 chapters in the book, right? Write it down. Be specific. Now, just play along so everybody has something in that goal section, right? This is the next thing that you have to do. The third thing is you need to define a hard deadline. A hard deadline. This is very important, and this is the thing that separates goals and dreams. You see, the difference between a goal and a dream is that it has a deadline. A goal without a deadline is still just a wish, and so you need to have a deadline. Put a deadline on that goal so that it can come to fruition, and this is the next part that I want you guys to do. Right under that section in the Making a Successful Plan exercise, it says, I will accomplish this goal by, and write down when, that date that you're going to accomplish this goal by. Write it down. It needs to have a deadline. Now, maybe things are out of your circumstance, and you can't come up with an exact deadline, right? Well, make an estimated, educated guess. I don't know, June 1st, 2020, I'm going to accomplish this goal. September 1st, 2020, I'm going to accomplish this goal. Or if it's something that you're going to accomplish this year, just put down the last day of the year, December 31st, 2020, this goal will be finished. It will be accomplished. So write that down right here in the next section of Making a Successful Plan exercise. When you define an accurate starting line and understand where you are, and then you define a clear finish line, you understand where you want to go, and lastly, you define the hard deadline, then you can do the next step, which is understanding the how. How are you going to get there? Because it becomes easier to plot the how, the course, once you have all these set. So define your starting line, finish line, deadline. Next, this is how you get there. And this is the next point in your note sheet. This is the second D in the 3 Ds of a successful plan. Discover the main discipline that will lead to the most progress. Discover the main discipline that will lead to the most progress. The main verse that we're reading, it says, the plans of the diligent lead. And I want to focus on the word lead. With any goal, there's usually one, sometimes two, main disciplines that will best progress you to lead you towards completion of that goal. See, the pathway of any goal is usually achieved by repeating a certain discipline over and over again. Let me explain. In Sean Covey and Chris McChesney's book, The Four Disciplines of Execution, they call this one main discipline the lead measure. It is the main discipline, task, habit that will lead to successful execution of this goal. That's why it's called the lead measure. See, the process of discovering the main discipline, the main lead measure, is a process that takes thoughtful intention. You have to understand this. You have to put some time into seeking it out. And you have to actively seek out to find the best course of how to get to your goal. This is like when you hit start navigation on the Google Maps app, and then it says finding best route. This is you finding the best route to complete your goal. Luke 14, verse 28 says, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? This shows that there is a goal, build a tower, and then there's a moment where you have to process and figure out, is this doable? And then how can I do it? So in the book, Four Disciplines of Execution, Chris McChesney shares this story of a shoe store. It's a shoe store chain. And they had a goal. They wanted to increase their sales. And so Chris leads the company into finding and discovering what that one main discipline is that will move the needle so that they can increase some sales. And so different stores of this shoe store chain, they tried different things. One of them tried handing out a bunch of coupons, right? Another one tried immediate engagement with customers who walk into the door. Another one tried different sales, like 2-for-1 deal, right? You know what the main lead measure, the main discipline was that they found that actually moved to increase sales? Measuring kids' feet. Measuring kids' feet was the one thing that pushed sales up the most. Why? Well, kids' feet, they're always changing, right? And so parents don't really know what the exact size is of the kids' feet. So they found out that if they would measure kids' feet, that would most likely turn into a sale. So that was their lead measure. That was their main discipline that they told their entire store chain to repeat over and over again, and they reached their goal. So you see, they had a goal, and they discovered what the main discipline, that lead measure, was to accomplish that goal. They found the best route. And this works for any goal that you have. There's usually one, maybe two main disciplines that would lead you to accomplish that goal. It's that one thing that is predictive of the outcome that you want to accomplish. And it's a discovery process. And this is where you determine how to achieve that goal. And you know what? The discovery process is best done with friends. It's best done to do this when you have another set of eyes to give you a different perspective. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22 says, "Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed." So have others help you discover what it is, that main discipline is, that you need to do. Maybe you already know, but it works better with friends. So if you don't get it right the first time, it's okay. You can adjust it and move and keep on moving. But most of the time, the main discipline requires a reallocation of time, a reallocation of time. See, we are all given the same amount of time, 1,440 minutes every single day. It's a matter of what we do with that time. How do we spend it so that we can be most effective? What habits need to be instilled in your life? What disciplines need to be done repeatedly? For example, I'm going to go back to the weight loss example because it's a very popular thing that everyone's doing, right? Some people, they want to stay motivated to stay on a diet. You know what a lot of people's main discipline that they do is they weigh themselves every day. When they keep track of their gains and their losses, it helps them stick with that process, right? I tried the keto diet last year for a little bit, and you know what was the main thing that kept me going on it? The main discipline that kept me going for it was I measured my ketones with those little ketone strips, right, to see if my body was actually in ketosis. And it became a game for me and it kept me going in the game, right? Maybe your goal is to stick with a gym routine. Well, you know what one of the best main disciplines is to help you do this? Find a good time to go that works for you and a friend. Work out with partners. It helps, because when you work out with other people, it helps you to stick with that workout habit and routine longer. If you want to improve your relationship with your spouse, well, you know what? Relationships are usually better when communication gets better. Communication gets better when you communicate. So communicate more. Go on date nights. Maybe that can be your lead measure. That can be the main discipline that you do, is go on date nights. You know, one of the things that fosters better communication in households nowadays is leave your work at home. When you get home, turn your phone off and have family dinners. That really helps when you limit the distractions that are around. Maybe you want to improve your relationship with God. So what is the main discipline that will help you improve your relationship with God? Well, wake up 30 minutes early. Then you can use that 30 minutes to spend time in prayer and devotion with the Lord. And if it's too hard for you to wake up early, maybe your lead discipline needs to happen on the front end. And that means you go to sleep 30 minutes earlier. So you can wake up 30 minutes earlier. Or maybe you want to read the Bible more. You got to find a time and a place where you can do that. Maybe it's during your lunch break. Find out when you can reallocate that time so that you can apply it to that lead discipline. You know, for me, one of the main things, one of the best disciplines that I instilled to help me grow as a leader, to help me grow as a teacher, is that I stopped listening to music on my commutes, and I started listening to audiobooks and podcasts. And that grew me as a leader so much. You know, it's funny how it works. Most of the ideas and messages for sermons that I come up with, God gives it to me when I'm in traffic. It's weird how that it works. That and writing in a coffee shop. For some reason, I write way better in a coffee shop. So anytime that I'm preaching for a message, you can probably find me midweek somewhere in a coffee shop, overly caffeinated. But it works for me. So discover what it is that will work, that will progress you towards that goal that you have. What is the main discipline? What is the lead measure? And this is the third D for the three Ds of making a successful plan. Diligently implement systems over strategies. Diligently implement systems over strategies. Let me explain what that means. I want to focus on the word diligent. The plans of the diligent lead, right? So what does it mean to be diligent? Well, Webster's Dictionary defines diligence as steady, earnest, and energetic effort, persevering application. And Oxford, I love Oxford's dictionary definition, it says that diligence is careful and persistent work. See, success in any goal is not a one-time event. It's the result of a persistent process, a constant system of steady, intentional work. So what does it mean to implement a system over a strategy? See, having a strategy is knowing the how. That's knowing how to do it, how to get there, how to achieve the goal. Implementing a system is the steady process of getting there. For example, a farmer does this. They yield crop, right? They know that their crop is not going to produce if they just water it one time, right? They have a system where they plant, they water, they nurture, they prune, and they reap a harvest. It's a system that they instill, and it produces fruit. You know, the result of 95% of successful people's endeavors, it was never done with a one-time event. It was done as a result of a long, intense, focused process. And so the most successful people will tell you that it was their long-term system of productivity that helped them get to achieve their goal. And it works with any goal. They just plug it into their system and they achieve it. So you know the basics now. You need to define a starting line, a finish line, and a deadline. Then you need to discover what is that main discipline that will lead you towards achieving it. Now implement the system of where you can repeatedly and steadily, intentionally act and work that main discipline out, act and work that lead measure out, so that you can move forward and progress towards finishing your goal. Because consistency plus time equals results. Consistency plus time equals results. And it's best to measure your progress, keep track of your weekly rhythms, keep a scorecard. So, for example, if your goal is to read the Bible this year, in 1 year, we know that there's 66 books in the Bible with 1,189 chapters. If you started today, you have 50 weeks left. There's 50 weeks left in 2020. So your system to reading the Bible in 1 year means that you need to read 24 chapters every week. If you break that down more, it means that you need to read 3.5 chapters every day. That's completely doable. If your goal is to improve your relationship with your spouse, and the main discipline that you want to apply is to have a date night, well, set that as a system, a reoccurring system that come hell or high water, Thursday night is date night. Make that happen. You know, there's 50 weeks left in 2020. If you go on 50 dates, I guarantee you, you're going to have a great relationship with your spouse. One thing that you can do, you can write down 50 date ideas, throw it in a jar, and every week just pick one and go, okay, we're going to do this. By the end of the year, you're going to have an empty date jar, but you're going to have a great relationship. So implement systems into your life. You know, maybe you want to pay off your $10,000 student loan or car debt, or maybe you want to create a buffer in your savings or emergency fund. Well, you know what you need to do to reach that goal? Every week, you need to set aside $200. If you break that down daily more, you need to save $30. That's totally doable. And so every goal is manageable, it's measurable when you plug it into a steady system. So the next part of the making a successful plan exercise right here is a part where it's going to help you create that system of measuring the outcome, where you can constantly apply whatever that main discipline is. So in this section, to progress towards this goal every week, you write down what you're going to do every single week. Right? What is that main discipline that you're going to do? That shoe store, their main discipline that they wrote here was every week our employees are going to measure kids' feet. And they did that week after week, and it had them reach their goal. And so write it down. Commit to doing it every single week. And right below here is a scorecard. It helps when you keep a scorecard. There are 50 weeks left in 2020. You can get a lot done in 50 weeks. So every week that you accomplish this main discipline, this main lead measure, check it off. Put this on your fridge and keep track. Because if you stay diligent with the plan, you will reach your goal. Because consistency plus time equals results. Now, it's important to stay diligent, consistent, and steady with the plan. And I discovered something very interesting when researching the Hebrew word for diligent. The word for diligent in Hebrew is this word called, it's sharutz. And it carries the meaning to be decided, decisive, sharp, determined. But check this out. This was the very interesting definition that I found of the word sharutz, which is diligence. It also means a threshing sledge. A threshing sledge. You see, back in those days, farmers, they would take the wheat and they would bring it to a threshing room floor. And what they would do, they would take a threshing sledge and beat it against it. And what would happen is it would separate the grain from the chaff. It would separate the useful grain from the useless chaff. And then they would get rid of the useless chaff. And so to be diligent means that we need to stay focused on that which is useful to us and eliminate that which is useless. And keep the things away that are taking us and distracting us away from our goal, but keep the things that are useful. So bring a threshing sledge towards your life. I found an example of this with King Solomon's life. In 1 Kings chapter 2, the whole chapter, there's a story of how King Solomon established his kingdom. And you can read through it later, but I'm going to summarize it for you right now. The main writer of the book of Proverbs, King Solomon, he was known as the wisest man on the planet at one point. He had one of the most prosperous reigns as king of Egypt, of Israel at the time. You know that he had to take a threshing sledge to his life when he started his kingdom. You see, he was the son of King David, one of the sons of King David, the great King David. And it was determined that King Solomon was going to be the king that would succeed his father. Now, before he was going to succeed his father, his stepbrother decided to take the throne. And he decided to throw an inauguration ceremony for himself. His name was Adonijah. And he took over the kingdom. And this was done behind King David's back. It was done behind King Solomon's back. And he did it with the support of some shady people in government. Now, when King David found out about this, he was pissed off. And he quickly destroyed that coup. He put an end to it. And he established King Solomon as the true king. And then on his deathbed, King David said to Solomon, "Hey, you need to deal justice to those who want to destroy your kingdom, who want to take it away from you. You need to deal justice to them." And so, wise King Solomon, he first extended mercy to those who staged this coup against him and those shady people in government, right? But these people ended up taking advantage of the mercy, and so Solomon had to extend a diligent justice to these people, and he had them executed. And when he did that, when he eliminated those things that were trying to destroy his kingdom and separate his kingdom, Solomon's kingdom flourished. So Solomon had to take a threshing sledge to his life, and he had to clean house, so to say, and eliminate some things and some people that were against his success. You see, in your own life, in your own pursuits of accomplishing your goal, there are things that are against your success. There are things that you need to take a threshing sledge to and separate the chaff from the grain. You need to separate that which is useless and that which is useful and eliminate that which is useless. See, do you know what the number one enemy of diligence is? The number one enemy of diligence is distractions. And this is the next point in your note sheet. Eliminate distractions, delegate responsibilities. Eliminate distractions, delegate responsibilities. Our lives are filled with so many things that can distract us from our goal, from the plan that God has for your life. And we need to identify them and eliminate them. Now, I'm not talking about killing people like Solomon. Don't do that. We need to find out what are those things that are going to distract us from our main goal, and we need to remove them from our life. One of the best ways to do that is write it down. Like I said, make a list And you start crossing off those things in your list. Now, just this past week, I had to do this in my own life. You see, for me, I had to prepare a sermon, right? For me to prepare a sermon, it takes me anywhere from 20 to 30 hours of writing and research. It takes me a long time. I'm trying to get faster at it. But I needed to concentrate this amount of time into making this sermon to teach you guys. And so I had to eliminate any distraction that would take time away from that goal. And this week, I had a big distraction. It was called the NAMM Show. If you guys know what the NAMM Show is, it's the National Association of Music Merchants. It's a convention that happens every single year in Anaheim right here. And it's basically like a glorified guitar center on steroids times 20. All the main manufacturers of musical gear, and me being a musician, it's dear to my heart. They bring all the latest and greatest new tech and toys and all that stuff. And man, when I was growing up, I would spend hours in Guitar Center, and so this is like times that by 20. And I knew I couldn't go because I got to spend time in putting and crafting this message, right? But I knew all my friends were going to go, and they're going to post up all these cool things and new toys and gadgets up on their social media, and that would just lead me down a rabbit trail of distraction. And so you know what I did? I had to eliminate distractions. So I deleted social media for this week. I couldn't afford to waste time. Did you know that? People, an average person spends 2.5 hours a day on social media. Ain't nobody got time for that. They got things to do. And so I had I eliminated that, and I had to take a threshing sledge to my life so that I can eliminate the distractions, remove it. You know, what are the distractions in your life? What are those things that are taking you away from the goal that God has for you in your life? List them out and remove them. Remove them from your life. Listen, if something or someone is distracting you or keeping you from your full potential that God has for you, that something or someone is a distraction, and you need to remove it. Now, again, don't kill anyone. I'm not saying kill anyone. But if something or someone is keeping you from God's full potential for your life, you need to deal with it. Now, married people, you can't get rid of your spouse. I'm just making that clear, okay? You got to stick with it. But what is that distraction? You need to create systems of productivity, kill systems of unproductivity. Now, the second part, real fast, is delegate low-priority, non-important items. There's so many things on our to-do list, but we need to prioritize. So delegate those low-priority items. Delegate responsibilities, not just tasks. This is a really good life hack. If you delegate a task, that responsibility still rests on you, and that task is going to circle back on you. But if you delegate a responsibility, that person you delegate the responsibility to, it actually empowers them, and they own all the tasks that come with it. So delegate responsibilities, not just the task. So for example, you can say, all right, son, your task is to wash the dishes, right? Well, you know what? You know, be better is you say, son, your responsibility is to make sure that these dishes are washed every single week. And then it is their responsibility. So offload the things that are non-important, that are low priority, and focus on the priority items in your life. So God wants to do something new in each and every single person's life this year. He wants to do something new in your life, and he can't, and that new thing can't come unless we get rid of the old things that are in its way. You see, some things need to die so that new things can be birthed. The old ways of thinking, the old habits, the old bad habits need to die so that the new can be birthed, and God can do something new in your life this year. Mark chapter 2, verse 22 says, "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wineskin will burst, and the new wine will be destroyed. So are the skins." So, but new wine is for fresh wineskins. What that means is the new things that God wants to do in your life have to be held with new hands, and you need to get rid of the things of the past, all those bad habits, so that you can let the new come into your life. So those are the three D's of a successful plan. One, define an accurate starting line, clear finish line, a hard deadline. Two, discover the main discipline, or that main lead measure that will most progress you towards completing that goal. And three, diligently implement systems over strategies. If you plug in any goal into this methodology, if you plug in any goal that you have here and work it, and you measure it, you will see that you will be able to complete any goal that you have. You know, it's good that we make plans. God honors those who make plans, and we should have a 1-year plan, we should have a 5-year plan, and we should have a 10-year plan. It's good, right? But we should also have an overarching life plan. You know, Dave Ramsey, he says that you should have goals over every aspect of your life, an overall umbrella of a goal. And it is an overarching life plan. So what is that? An overarching life plan is the big plan with a capital P, that all the other plans are sub-plans that lead towards that big plan. And for us Christians, if you are a Jesus follower, the Bible lays out the best life plan for you of all. And it's the last point in your note sheet. It's this. A Christian's overarching life plan should be seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If you are a Jesus follower, this is your overarching life plan. This is it. Seek first his kingdom, and everything, all the other plans, all the sub-goals that you have should lead your life closer to this main goal. You see, Jesus' number one topic that he spoke about was about the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God, we can talk about that for years. Real briefly, the kingdom of God basically is God's rule in your life. It's his kingship in over all aspects of your life, of your heart. And we need to seek after this, that God's rule is over every single aspect of your being. So how can God be the king in your personal life? How can God be the king in your relationships? How can God be the king in your friendships, in your family life? Am I parenting in a way that's honoring God, that's pleasing? How can God be the king of your web browser history? Does that reflect God's kingship in your life? How can God be the king over your marriage, in your physical life? You know that the Bible says that your body is the temple of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, to whom you have from God, for it is not your own. And so taking care of the temple, your physical temple, your body, is something that is pleasing to God and in that overarching life plan of seeking first the kingdom. Is Jesus the king of your thought life? Or is our minds letting jealousy and envy run rampant and stress stealing your joy? And so capture every thought, make it obedient to Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, take every thought captive and let it be obedient to Christ. See, every plan that you make should be in line with the overarching plan of seeking the kingdom of God first. So if your plan for 2020 is to steal $100,000 in a shady business deal, guess what? That's not in the overarching life plan of seeking the kingdom of God first. So you need to change that plan. And you might get arrested, so don't do that. But if your plan is to have a better marriage this year with your spouse, well, that's absolutely in line with the overarching plan of seeking the kingdom of God first, because having a healthy marriage is honoring to God. And you get the point. All the sub-goals that you have need to be getting you closer to God's kingdom increasing in your life. So make sure all your sub-plans are in line with that. You know, Rick Warren, he says, the greatest use in life is to spend it on that which will outlast it. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. So that's the model of creating a successful plan right there. And I pray that every single one of you, every single person sitting here in this room, will be able to reach God's plan for your life. You'll be able to reach God's plan for your life, and at the end of it, just like Hannibal from the A-Team, after a successful mission, completing a goal, you guys can all say, I love it when a plan comes together. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you created us with a plan, that you created us with intention, that you created us with thought, that you still think about us every single day, that you love us. Lord, we ask that you would direct our steps and you would lead us to the right goals. Father, would you just increase your kingdom in our life? We want to follow you. And if that's you, if you heard that overarching life plan and you realize that's not your overarching life plan, it should be. And if that's you, God is tugging at your heart saying, hand your plans over. Because my ways are better. If you seek first my kingdom in your life, all the other things will come together. All the other things will be added. And so stop running, because God's speaking to you right now. Make God's kingdom reign in your life. Let his plan be your plan. And so if that's you, pray this prayer. It's real simple. It's not mystical or magical. It's just a simple guide to lead your heart into telling God that you give up, that you want him to lead you. And so say this, Lord Jesus, I want you to be the leader of my life. I want you to increase your kingdom in my heart. Holy Spirit, come live inside. Lord, forgive me of my sins. God, would you take the steering wheel of my life? Would you lead me? I give up. I want to seek your will for my life. I want your overarching plan to be the main plan in my life. I love you. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before you sign off, you can listen to more great messages on City Church's website at lovehopecity.com. Or if you have a question, send us an email at hello@lovehopecity.com. Come see us any Sunday at 701 West Broadway, Anaheim, California. Check the website for times and services.